Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We do have a well actually person. We constantly have this. And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this, because I think this is the same person we've done this before. From the 704. Sorry, pal, but the Blue Jays do not have the best record in baseball. He started off with a pal. First off, kiss my ass, just because of that. Kiss my hiney. That would be a team called the Brewers. And even the Phillies have a better record than the Blue Jays. But good job reading. Okay, I've said this multiple times. The National League is garbage. Hot garbage. Every team in the National League doesn't matter. And you know what? They're not even American. That's right. They're not American. Philadelphia, not American. Milwaukee, not American. They're not American teams. So, yes, best team in the American League is the best team in baseball. I base that off of the Astros' interleague record, which is by far the best of any interleague record in all of the sport. How many times have we watched the Astros play a National League team? A lot. How many times have those National League teams been good? Rarely. Rarely. The league sucks. You suck too. How about that?
Paul, you sound so angry.
Yes, it's because the Texans put me in a bad mood with that 14-9 loss of theirs on Sunday. Those sons of biscuits. I'm going to be in a foul mood all week. I'm going to take it out on my cat. I'm going to be like one of those people. I'm kidding. Got to watch the game a little bit more. Even did an All-22 film session on my live stream. That's right. I'm being like literally every single other person in sports media who is now pretending that they know more than they actually do. But I was a all-district high school football safety back in the day. So important to remember that at times. And that I watched the Patriots growing up to just really, really show off my football expertise. But anyway, listen. We're doing a new segment as we look back at the film and study what went well and what went wrong. The Texans have an obsession with calling each other dogs. I don't know why. CJ Stroud in particular, if you go through the press conferences that he's done since becoming quarterback of the Texans, he constantly compliments people by calling them dogs. But he's not alone. Laremy Tunsil used to do it all the time. Will Anderson does it. Derek Stingley, when he speaks, even does it. Everyone on the Texans calls other members of the Texans dogs. So I thought to myself, okay, well, on Tuesday, second look at the game, when we give honors out for who played well and who didn't, how about we call them the dogs of the game, and we'll have a category for good dogs. You know what are good dogs? Border Collies. Australian Shepherds. Golden Retrievers, Black Labs. Golden Labs are okay. Black Labs, cool AF. Yorkie Poodles, Golden Doodles. I could keep going and going and going. There are a lot of dogs I like. So we'll have a good dog segment, and then we'll have a bad dog segment. Chihuahuas. Ugh. Little rats. Little disgusting rats. Yeah, I'm sorry. I called your dog disgusting if you have one. I'm sorry Find me a Chihuahua that's ever been warm and friendly, and it'll be the first. Because they're either literally shivering, either because they're cold or in fear, or they're yapping. When I was a child, a friend of mine had a Chihuahua. The Chihuahua had its way with me. I'm just kidding. It did hump my leg, but it was more the biting that was concerning. Because it had its it had eyes that were backwards cross-eyed, and it made this constant noise. It sounded like a monster. Luckily, it was this little pint-sized thing. Chihuahuas suck. Pugs suck. Even worse. Oh, disgusting faces. Get a Kleenex.
Oh, wait, you don't have opposable thumbs.
Idiot. Don't like French Bulldogs, but at least they're not as bad as Bulldogs. So there we go. Good dogs, bad dogs. Who are the good dogs for the Houston Texans on Sunday? Can I get a little Baja, man?
What are you doing in here, little kitty cat? All crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs.
It's a group that's a lot of dogs, man.
Yeah, he's a dog.
I think I seen a dog come out of him.
Nah, he a dog.
He's a dog, man.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Shout out to that Coastal Carolina head coach who went on that rant back in the day. One more little clip I'm going to add to this next time around is the Under Armour commercial. I believe it was LeVar Arrington. What time is it? Game time. What time is it? Game time. And the dogs in the house. And I think Ray Lewis hijacked it and used it as his own. I'm not kidding. I don't think Ray Lewis was the first one to do that. I could be wrong. Ray, please don't look into that. You're a man of the Lord now. You don't F with Shannon Sharp anymore either. Who are the dogs of the game, the good dogs of the game, for your Houston Texans in a 14-9 loss to the Los Angeles Rams? You can send in your nominees at 713-780-3776 to call the text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Number one for me, Kaimi Fairbairn.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Good job, Kaimi Fairbairn. You get a couple milk bones, maybe a little extra meat that I haven't eaten myself because I'm too full. He hit all of his field goals. 51, 53, 45. He scored all of the Texans' points. He continued to do what he did in the first half of last year, which is kick long field goals because the Texans' offense couldn't get into the red zone. Kaimi Fairbairn? Is he a border collie? He's not that versatile. Is he a golden retriever? Yeah. Does what he's told to do. Yeah. You like him. He's a kicker. He's cute, you know? Kind of derpy. Kickers are a little derpy. Ask a kicker to do anything else that's athletic. It's going to be a little derpy, you know?
Scratch him behind the ear.
Yeah. Give it a little. Kaimi Fairbairn gets a little pat on the head and scratch behind the ear, you know? Who else is a dog? The good kind of dog. You got to give it to the man, the myth, the legend, Will Anderson Jr.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
One sack, three tackles for a loss, two quarterback hits. He played well. If we're looking for Will Anderson to take that next step this year, I think game one is an encouraging sign. But to win Defensive Player of the Year, you need your team, I think, to be better. The defense did its job for the most part on Sunday. You know, hard to be mad at the Texans' defense coming out of this one. What would Will Anderson be? I'm going to go Border Collie for Will Anderson. Border Collie is the best dog. My girlfriend has a purebred Border Collie. Adopt a chuffle. I didn't do it. Tell her that. Okay? Surprised Granada didn't come after her for that. She shopped. Didn't adopt. Unbelievable. I think it's so weird people get all bent out of shape about that. Some of the adopted dogs, are psychos. One of my friends, he had an adopted dog. And the dog, bit a hole in his drywall. It just bit a hole in it. And it was a cute dog, but it had some trauma, you know? I get it. Adopt, don't shop. But those dogs, they got lots of trauma. Who else? Dog of the game for your Houston Texans. Azeez Al-Shaair. Oh, yeah. Listen. Azeez Al-Shaair, just based off the way he plays, has to be a junkyard dog. He has the big forced fumble at the end of the game. 7 total tackles. Junkyard dog. What kind of junkyard dog? Is he a pit bull? Is he a Rottweiler? Is he a American Bulldog? Is he a...
Oh, the one from Sandlot.
The Beast?
Yeah.
Is he Hercules?
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of dog he is. All I know is I'm crossing the street when I see this kind of dog across the street. And he never does that. Sir, he has a toddler's leg sticking out of his mouth. What are you talking about?
He definitely has the collar with the spikes.
Oh, for sure. Dude, you know what? NFL teams should do that. I think Spike, remember Little Giants? I think Spike in Little Giants had that. I'm not kidding. I could be confusing movies.
Doesn't like the Georgia Bulldog, like the mascot version, not the one that sits in an air-conditioned doghouse. Like the...
Ugga?
Not that one. The man in a suit. Or woman in a suit.
Yeah, I think the man in a suit has one. Yes, yeah. I think you're right. We will read your nominees for Good Dog of the Game.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
I forget what TV show that was from. Was it Spin City? I could be wrong. Anyway, Bad Dogs. They're coming up next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We're talking a lot about dogs. Stick around.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. We'll get into our bad Texans dogs of the game. I get that term can make some people uncomfortable when talking about players. I just want everyone to know the Texans call themselves dogs more than anybody. Specifically C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud has probably called every single Texans teammate a dog. Hell, Laremy Tunsil used to call Davis Mills a dog, okay? I don't know why the Texans all refer to themselves as dogs, but they do. They do. So we'll get to the bad dogs of the game in a moment. Oh, look, it's Lil Dicky. I watch his TV show. He's in a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
Yeah, yeah, where the buffalo raps at him.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
It's like very obviously written by Lil Dicky, too, because it sounds exactly like him, just the buffalo's doing it to Lil Dicky.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm in. I'm a big Lil Dicky fan now, even though I just discovered him thanks to my girlfriend like 3 weeks ago. No, seriously, I'm in on everything that the guy does. I'm kind of obsessed. Anyway, we did have that texter who was well-actualing me about like who's the best team in all of baseball. Again, I don't recognize the National League because I have a life. This person is calling my high school football credentials. Are you trying to tell me you don't think someone who played football at Shorecrest Preparatory School was all that? A school called Shorecrest Preparatory School who had played before at Thayer Academy? Listen, you don't understand what it's like to play private school football. You don't get it, okay? Because, sure, like there's some really talented athletes at the top level of high school sports in both Texas and Florida where I played. But, I mean, if you're playing private school football, people don't talk about this often, but it's crazy. It's truly crazy. Every now and then, a butler runs onto the field and trips a player. It happens. Somebody might come out from the stands and a rich person, and he might buy off your coach in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden your team starts losing. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
You've just been bought off.
People are yelling, seize him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's really, really weird, and not everyone can handle it.
Yeah.
One more time, Sean?
All the helicopters landing on the baseball field.
It's distracting. Yeah. Like, if you're a kicker, yeah, there's a helicopter that might land, like, right next to the field.
Someone's parent was late to the game.
He was late to the game. Also, yeah, like, you have to deal with, like, you might be a good athlete, but maybe your dad's never there. Because he's busy closing the deal so that he can afford your ridiculously overpriced tuition. And you kind of understand it, but at the same time, you're sort of like, Dad, are you ever going to watch me play a game? And then he comes and watches you play a game, and you set a record for tackles in a game, but you lose the game, and you felt like you didn't make him proud enough, and then you grab your helmet, and you smash your locker after the game and cry, and a couple of your other teammates look at you, and you're like, what the hell's going on here? I don't know if anyone's been through that before.
Sometimes it happens to people.
It happens, though. That's the private school football world. Anyway, after a little trauma dumping, speaking of dumping, how about the Texans dumping their pants Sunday in L.A.? Hey-o, who were the bad dogs at the game?
Oh, do you want to just play
it? You want to do it? Let's do it again.
What are you doing in here, little kitty cat? All crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs.
It's a group that's a lot of dogs, man.
Yeah, he's a dog.
I think I've seen a dog come out of him.
Nah, he a dog.
He's a dog, man.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Who are the bad dogs of the game? And by the way, I missed Nick Chubb with the good dog segment. I spent so much time putting that segment together, I forgot to write down who I actually had as my dogs of the game. Nick Chubb played really well, and I think the Texans...
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
And I think the Texans should focus their offense around him. That is a great clip. But I truly do not remember the TV show it was at the end of. I want to say it was Spin City. And I'm going to keep on saying, I want to say it was Spin City instead of actually doing the research.
Stop texting in about who's the best team in baseball. Text in about what clip this is from, please.
Yes, thank you.
Less MLB standings talk. More, what is this clip from?
Bad dog. Who was the baddest of the dogs for the Texans? Who refer to themselves as this, so it's okay for me to do it as well. I think that worst dog of the game... And there's like extenuating circumstances. Ariante Ursary. He was the worst ranked rookie offensive lineman in the league on Sunday.
Bad dog! Bad dog!
That's the guy from Up yelling at that cute little golden retriever. Squirrel! He's calling him a bad dog.
He was a bad dog.
He was a nice dog. He was cute.
He was a bad dog.
Well, listen.
He wasn't a well-trained dog.
He never does that. Bad dogs for the Houston Texans on Sunday. Woof. Damian Pierce. I'm a huge Damian Pierce defender, and I think I've run out of room. This game was really tough. 3 carries for 5 yards, a botched kick return that gave the Texans poor field position to open the game.
Bad dog, bad dog.
I think Damian Pierce is maybe the dog you think about asking a friend to take forever.
Oh.
I'm not suggesting the old Yeller treatment, okay? I'm just saying, like, sometimes the dog doesn't work out, and you're like, hey,
do you
want to take this dog in?
Do people leave dogs on doorsteps of firehouses like they do babies?
It would be nice if they did. That would make me feel better. I actually think it's horrible to abandon a pet, especially with the way some of them do it on the side of the road. I really think you're scum of the earth if you do that. But,
I'm sorry. Sorry to bring it up.
From a roster construction perspective, Damian Pierce, I think Nick Caserio, it's time to start calling and saying, like, hey, I got a dog. He was awesome 2 years ago.
Great puppy.
He was really good. Not in a great situation. You know, Davis Mills is quarterback in that team. Dogs of the game. Bad dogs. This was a rough game for Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie.
Bad dog. Bad dog.
Daria Gunbowale as well. The made men of the D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio era. I think it's going to get to a point where both of these guys, and specifically D'Amico, have to get a little less attached to specific players. This is something that we had heard from DJ Bien-Aimé from ESPN when he had been in studio last year. He said, listen, like all coaches across the NFL, D'Amico has his favorites. But I think he's shown his favorites a little bit too much loyalty. I don't know how you can put Daria Gunbowale back in a crunch time situation if the guy that you trust, because I guess he's a special teams player and he's good picking up blitzes, like how going forward can you put him in a big time spot? How do you do that? He fumbled. And I know he had that nice play the play before, but it's not like he's one of those guys who never fumbles the football. He doesn't touch the football that much. Maybe he's not used to touching it. So he dives forward. I don't know what that was. But there you go. Bad dogs of the game. You could honestly just give it to the entirety of the Texans offensive line, too. I know that there's a lot of juggling and shuffling going on. Blake Fisher. Oof. Blake Fisher is your chihuahua.
Bad dog.
Chihuahua of the game. Like, the Texans are actively trying to not play him. And they're actively trying to not play Juice Scruggs, too. Who didn't even make it on the field despite all that shuffling that's going on. Yikes.
Yeah, they rather move people to like four different positions.
Seriously.
Than to put them on the field.
It's kind of crazy that's the way things are. A couple of texts here. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Chihuahuas are the local sports talk radio hosts of the dog world. It's a fair one. One thing worse than Chihuahuas, writes another texter, Pomeranians.
They're similar. They're similar when you think about it. Like, if you just shaved a Pomeranian, probably would just look
they
like
would
a Chihuahua.
Look just like it. Yeah, Pomeranians have too much attitude. It's like, hey, I could punch you.
Yeah.
I would.
They don't know that.
Because that's not nice. Yeah, but they need to be. A Pomeranian
could get punted off the side of a bridge.
Right, like Baxter in Anchorman.
Baxter, good dog.
Pomeranians, not by humans, but Pomeranians need a dog to punch them in the face. They do. Pomeranians need to be punched in the face by a dog. Do not beat your animals. I love animals. But Pomeranians suck. Like, no one's... It's essentially me when I was 5 foot nothing, a freshman in high school, talking bleep that my body couldn't cash. You know? Pomeranians need to be punched by a dog. A texter says, I have a half Chihuahua, half Dachshund. She's a sweetheart. Oh, half blood?
Careful. This segment is going to get us in the most trouble, I feel.
For sure.
Between
I'm honestly uncomfortable right now.
And Paul's dog breed racism.
Yeah, it's true. Well, listen, yeah, I'm breed cyst. That's definitely true. I'm going to call it breed cyst, okay? Okay. What else do we have here on the text line? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. I guess it was for both Family Ties, Night Court, and more shows was where they did Sit, Ubu, Sit. Oh. Good dog. I guess it was at the end of Cheers, too, says another texter. Anyway.
Oh, it was like the little production company thing?
Oh. I think so. Yeah, it must have been.
I was like, someone definitely is listening and knows the answer to this.
Probably. And everyone gave it. Like, that's most of the text lines right now. Anyway, we will do this going forward. The good dogs and bad dogs of the week until someone tells us that we can't talk about the Texans players the way that Texans players talk about themselves.
Or that people are mad about all the strays that their dog are catching.
I mean, I feel no guilt about that. PETA can get mad at me all you want. Listen, rescuing a dog, that is something that a lot of people take lightly, and they shouldn't. I think a lot of people that adopt dogs, you're not ready for a dog. You know why I haven't adopted a dog? Because I'm not ready for a dog by myself. Now, with a girlfriend, with my babe, easy. And she has two, by the way. And I love those dogs. I love Chip. I love Milo. But a lot of people adopt dogs that shouldn't, and this adopt don't shop thing, I think a lot of people are sort of forgetting that if you adopt one, the dog might be completely crazy and you might not be able to handle it. You know, I had a starter dog in high school, had my mom helping me out. This message was not brought to you by PETA, and it was not brought to you by animal shelters across Houston. I want everyone to know I love dogs. I'm just saying, I think people think it's...
Again, this comes with such a long disclaimer.
It's a long disclaimer.
And there's another part of the segment where you said Pomeranians need to get punched
but
in the face.
But they do need to get punched in the face by another dog.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy. A lot of potholes for us to get stuck in.
Anyway, if this segment didn't get us canceled, up next on the Polygon Lot Show, Monday Night Football. That was a fun game. One of those games that reminds you, don't ever post anything about sports on the internet, because you'll probably end up wrong 5 minutes later. That and more next. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
We are in the midst of the football season. 1 week officially in after last night in Monday Night Football. The Chicago Bears got off to a rollicking start. The Ben Johnson era, it's going to be a success. Caleb Williams finally figured it out. J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings are toast. It was a one-year thing. Can you believe they moved on from Sam Darnold? And then I don't know how the game flipped the way that it did. But the Vikings came back, scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter and taking down the Bears 27-24. I think Ben Johnson's going to need a lot of time to get the Bears to a point where they're competent. How many coaches have we said this about in the past? This is a team that has a lot of things to clean up. I mean, let's just talk about the special team side of it, whether it's Cairo Santos missing a field goal or it's Cairo Santos not being able to kick the kickoff out the back of the end zone at the end of the game. Yeah.
Like, what? Kick it out of bounds. Kick it anywhere.
Truly.
Except to him.
Right.
Like, just don't kick it to him so they can't run 2 seconds off and basically use
up... Get rid of your two-minute warning timeout.
Yeah, which you're going to use as a timeout. Like, or onside kick. Like, there's... There is a lot of work to be done. It was encouraging that Caleb Williams looked to be slinging it in the first quarter.
He looked awesome in the first half. Like, truly looked awesome. And this is, I think, why all of those people had massive pants tents about him coming out of college. I took it all with a grain of salt because I was thinking to myself, okay, what he's doing, it looks cool, but can you do that at the NFL level? He is exceptionally quick. There are some really awesome traits that he has, but he's wildly inconsistent.
Yeah, he's just too sloppy.
And he's inaccurate, too. Yeah. And I just don't know how this is going to work. There was one sequence where I think he threw 3 straight incompletions, and it zooms in on Ben Johnson on the sideline shaking his head and saying something that if he were mic'd up, we would all laugh at. J.J. McCarthy, meanwhile, he looked so bad at first and so good late. I don't know what to make of him, but, I mean, it's his first ever game. He's playing in his hometown against the team that he grew up rooting for. And he had, I think, a remarkable chutzpah, if you will. Some real cojones there to hang in there. And I got to say, there's this one listener who's a big Vikings guy. And I've brought this up a couple of times. I have some real questions about J.J. McCarthy. The things that were coming out of training camp did not sound great. This is an awesome performance for him to kick off his NFL career.
Yeah,
the Vikings have the defense on the other side. That's once Brian Flores figures you out, man, they make it tough for you.
Yeah, it's a little bit like like, he threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. The pick six was just like...
Oh, my God, it was awful.
Like, and then after that, he was really good.
It was like they body swapped.
Yeah, and there is something to be said about, like, having the, like, mental toughness or, like, the fortitude to respond like that and to not, like, completely crumble and instead play your best football of the night after, again, like, a terrible interception. Just... the worst of the worst. So, yeah, I'll be interested in J.J. McCarthy going forward. I think there's obviously a lot to work on because being bad for the first three quarters isn't good. Like, don't do that every
week.
Don't
do that.
Yeah. Like, just be good the entire time. But there is something there with, like, how he responded, I think, that you can take from him.
I'm with you on that front. More across the National Football League. The San Francisco 49ers, who are on the Texans' schedule, but not in the very near future. I think that the 49ers and Texans play in late October. That's right.
After
the 26th at NRG Stadium. Yes. After the bye week, Texans and Niners. Actually, 2 weeks after the bye week.
Oh, yeah, because they had the Monday night.
But there is a chance that the Niners will be without George Kittle, who suffered a hamstring injury. He's going to be out for weeks.
Yeah, I think they put him on IR
right
now.
So at the very least, he's going to be out for four games. Maybe he'll be back against the Texans. Brock Purdy might miss this coming game against the New Orleans Saints with a shoulder injury as well. Christian McCaffrey's health is always a question mark as
well. Yeah, I think he missed some practices this week.
So that's my NFC Super Bowl pick. Bleep me, right?
Just the team that's like always, if they stay healthy, they'll make the NFC title game, or if they don't, they'll have the seventh pick in the draft. And after week one, it's like, well, McCaffrey's the only healthy one somehow. And again, he missed parts of practice last week. So, yeah, it's just at a certain point, you do wonder, like, is it something the Niners are doing specifically that keep these guys that
they have an Astros
guys
medical staff problem?
They keep getting hurt.
Yeah,
like I get football is a physical game; everyone gets hurt. They get just ravaged by injuries every year.
Maybe it's the field. I know that field's been questioned from time to time. At
how they're practicing, I don't know. I have no idea.
Could be that too. Yeah, that Grant Cohn guy, who's like the Skip Bayless of the Cowboys, but for the 49ers. Yeah,
the hater on the beat.
Yeah, that's the guy that we got to get the answers from. We might have to have him on the show the week of Texas 49ers.
Yeah.
He fascinates me. I very much
I wish we had one of those for the Texans. Just a guy who covers the team that, like, is antagonistic at all times to the team.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, though. He might not come on because of the time I said those things about people in San Francisco. But we'll see. We'll see. Russell Wilson, Giants quarterback, not benched despite Brian Daboll being exceptionally noncommittal after New York lost 21-6 on Sunday to the Commanders in a game where Malik Nabers looked like he wanted to die. This is going to be tough. And this is what I thought when they drafted him in the first round. You draft the quarterback that you really like, and you got this veteran that's playing in the short term. If that veteran isn't good, it's going to feel like wasted time. And I don't really see how it benefits the Giants to have Jackson Dart sit back and watch. I'm a big believer that you put the kid in there and you see what he's got. And if he's tough, he'll be able to make it work. There's some questions about that, of course, given that in that meltdown he had against Florida, he was crying on the sidelines. As one does.
He lost to Billy Napier. That should be a red mark on his.
I know. My goodness. Yeah, he honestly, if not for Jackson Dart, we might have a new head coach. Son of a bitch. Anyway, bringing it back to the Giants. The media is getting upset that they asked for Jackson Dart, who was either the third string quarterback or second string quarterback. They're mad that they didn't get to talk to Dart after the Giants looked like ass in a 21-6 loss. It is kind of funny. So I feel like New York media is trying their best to pressure Brian Daboll to bench Russell Wilson for Dart. It's not happening this week, at least based off of what Daboll said at this press conference.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Russell Wilson is not benched yet. Like, yeah. I don't think there's any way that it ends up Russell Wilson for the, like, foreseeable future. I think he gets benched pretty fast here.
I'd like it to be now. I'd like it to be now. But
I want to have
more Russ?
I want to have the Giants fans fans squirm for it a little bit more. Just really, really have them itching for Jackson Dart, and then hit, and then throw him out there.
That's fair. I want Dart to come in and to fail, and for the Giants to clean shop and move on to the next guy, and just continue to be a bad organization. But it'll never make up for what the Giants did to my favorite team twice. At least Daniel Jones looks good in Indianapolis as opposed to in New York. That's got to sting for them. But now, Daniel
stings
Jones
for us.
Stings for us.
Hell?
Yeah, exactly.
33 points? Do you know how many games the Texans would need to play to score 33 points?
Mm-hmm. No, a lot.
Yeah, four.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay there.
ESPN 975.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Aiden Watson says on the YouTube, I'd trade Drake May for Jackson Dart right now. Well, I'm thinking about that. The Patriots fan in May was not thrilled with what I saw from Drake May on Sunday. I went to a bar to watch that. I didn't have to watch that, but I went to a bar to watch that. Went to McIntyre's in the Heights. I had my t-shirt, Patriots t-shirt. It says, bet against us. And yes, you should.
You
bet
should've.
Against
you
them.
Should've. You
I wear
money.
This now non-ironically. It's like, hey, no, bet against them.
Please.
I am betting against them. I
want to help you bet against
yeah,
us.
Like, bet, I don't like the, I mean, I hate tanking, but oof, it's right now. It's going to take a little bit of time, I think, to clean up what Belichick did to that roster. And what,
yeah.
And what Jerod Mayo did, too.
It might not be on purpose. The tanking might not be no. 100% on purpose.
No, it might not. The Astros are in Toronto. They're playing the Blue Jays. Captain Photon says on YouTube, we should bring the National Guard with us to Canada. That would be fun. That would be fun. Protect the Astros at all costs.
Yeah.
They are.
In the words of Shannon Sharp, calling the National Guard.
Because we are killing
the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, that would be funny. I mean, listen, this is the dynasty of America's pastime. So they must be protected. What if Canada tries to kidnap them in a scheme similar to the terrible Damon Wayans? That one guy from Home Alone
from
and Dan
Pride.
Aykroyd movie, Celtic Pride.
That one guy from Celtic Pride?
Right. What if they do that to Jose Altuve? What if they do that to Yordan Alvarez? You just got to watch
what
out.
What if they do that to Framber Valdez?
Framber's gone? Oh. If Framber defects to Canada... I'd let him go.
I respect his wishes.
I respect his wishes to defect to Canada. By the way, Bob Nightingale reported that as far as Framber Valdez, at least one team has taken him off of their free agent list after the little meltdown with Cesar Salazar. Maybe the Astros get to bring him back because of that meltdown. That would be funny.
Yeah, Dana Brown his price down enough to.
Yeah, for sure. Dana Brown is definitely. Rubbing his hands together.
The thing is, though, he did that on your team. You know, like, based off the report, was it Chandler Rome that reported that there is a confrontation or at least discussions among the clubhouse?
I think it was Schwab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chandler actually, likes being confused with Schwab.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same thing.
Whatever. But yeah, Michael Schwab saying that there's. The clubhouse didn't love that. Someone clipped that.
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem with Chandler Rome. I just know it would annoy him.
I might do it later today.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Chandler. Love the podcast.
I'm not. Matt Chandler is hilarious. I enjoy Chandler. Chandler does a great job covering the team. So they're in Toronto. I don't know how many people are actually in Toronto to watch this series. Every single year when the Astros go to Toronto, it just gives us an opportunity to play a song that I had never heard of until Vanessa Richardson, who at the time was doing sideline reporting for Astros games, informed me about this. Come on, guys. It's a banger. This is a song that they play at, what is it, Sky Dome? The Rogers Center, and it's like spelled C-E-N-T-R-E because the British are stupid. Here is, they're the British. They have queens on their coins, like a bunch of betas. But by the way, what regular Canada did to French Canada is reprehensible. And rest in peace, the 8,000 French Canadians who perished after being expelled from Canada. Anyway, here is OK Blue Jay. Ready? It's like Randy Newman, kind of.
You got a diamond.
A diamond.
You got nine men.
Nine men.
You got a hat and a bat. And that's not all. You got the bleachers.
That's true.
Got them from spring till fall.
What?
A dog and a drink and the umpire's call. What do you want?
Let's play ball.
Is that a fly ball?
I don't know.
Or is it a seagull?
I don't know.
Coming in from the lake just to catch the game. It's the last minute. Our guys are winning. Dave's put down a smoker, a strike, and you got no doubt.
Yeah. What do you want? Let's play ball.
Okay.
Okay.
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Let's
play
ball.
Great song.
It's a beautiful evening, fans. At the ballpark, the game starts. Warm summer breezes, sun's going down. It's all dark at the ballpark.
All dark at the ballpark.
That's okay.
Kind of racist.
It's a night game.
Are they just listing every team?
Bring on the Brewers, the Rangers, and the Yankees, too.
What about the Astros?
We'll beat the Indians.
Racist.
We'll beat the Tigers.
Oh, Astros,
we'll
yeah.
beat the A's so bad. Gonna make Billy blue.
Whoa.
What do you want?
Let's play ball. They're gonna list more teams.
Okay.
Blue Jays.
Let's play
ball. What a great song. A great Canadian song.
It's way longer than I remember.
Oh, yeah. We never played the full thing before.
It's so much longer.
It's very long. I love that part in the middle where it's a night at the ballpark.
But only for one line. It doesn't actually slow down. It goes it right doesn't. Back to...
Tony the Handsome says I can twerk to this. Good luck. Good luck. Shout out to you. We respect strong, powerful, independent men.
It's the Jurassic Park. You wondered if you could. You never stopped. Should you? Should you twerk to this song? I don't think you should. They ignored the Astros. Completely ignored.
It's probably from when the Astros were in the National League. But there are other teams, too. I don't think they listed every American League team there.
No, they listed like six.
Yeah.
Somehow the Rangers snuck their way in there.
Yeah, what the hell? Because they're in the AL East. Where are the Devil Rays?
Yeah.
You know?
It's the White Sox, the Bo Sox, the Yankees, the Indians.
And randomly the A's just get subjected to a drive-by.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a great song.
You know what? The A's were probably really good when they wrote
the
song.
Oh, for sure. I bet,
it was probably in the 80s or whatever.
I bet this song happened when the Blue Jays were at their best, which I think was the early 90s.
That also makes sense.
I think that's when Joe Carter hit the home run. Is it Gary Carter, Joe Carter? I know there's a Gary Carter. I know there's a Joe Carter. I'm doing this on purpose. Like, I actually know the answer to this, but just because of that one person who's like, the Brewers are actually the best team in baseball, I'm literally just getting it wrong to drive you crazy. I hope you're yelling at the radio right now. Honestly, it would be kind of funny if you accidentally drove off the road.
No, it wouldn't.
Safely. Like, don't crash into anything.
Please.
Don't do that. But, yeah, it's definitely written in the early 90s. Junior Broncos agrees. It's not like the Astros cocaine song, which also, like this song, asks a lot of questions about what happens at a baseball game.
It just kind of, like, describes things that are involved with baseball.
Yeah.
The spikes, the bleachers got a shout out in this one.
We did. It said like they buy the bleachers from some specific Canadian farm. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text, and YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Worst Take Tuesday is coming up before the end of the hour. We've also got everything else you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Stick around on the most interactive sports talk show in town.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.